In our passage today, Peter, the one who denied Christ, the one who was told he would be the rock on which Jesus would build the church, the one who walked on water but only for a minute, the one who resisted the foot washing, the one who first called Jesus the Messiah, Peter stands before his Jewish peers with some explaining to do. His peers want to know why it is that Peter had been in intimate company sharing a table with Gentiles. He certainly knew better than to share a table with people whom didn't fulfill the purity laws of the time and for whom themselves were considered unclean because they did not participate in the ritual of circumcision. So why, Peter? Why did you eat with them? Dr. Willie Jennings, who's a theologian and a professor, points out that in this moment, Peter has only one thing to rely on. He brings only his experience. Because you see, there was nothing written in the scriptures in the Old Testament that Peter had that prophesied the conversion of Gentile people. Peter couldn't pull out his Torah and point to the verse to defend his actions. And there was no tradition of eating with the Gentiles, which is why Peter found himself in the position he was in the first place. And so I wonder if you have ever found yourself in Peter's shoes. If there's ever been a time in your life when all you had was your story, your experience, or your testimony. Because Peter certainly had a testimony, and he didn't know how it was going to be received. And so I imagine that before Peter began, he took a deep breath. I was praying, Peter said, and I had a vision of a sheet coming down from heaven and these unclean animals, and the voice of God saying, kill and eat. But I told God no, friends. I told God no because nothing impure has ever passed these lips. But then a voice said, what God has made clean, you must not call profane. I told God no because I thought maybe this was a test, a temptation of sorts. Here is all of the food you might ever crave, Peter, but that you should not eat. And it took three times, friends, of this voice declaring to me, do not call profane what God has made clean, for me to understand that what was before me was in fact clean and that God had done a new thing. And then as soon as I complete my prayer, a group of men come for me and they say, we need you to come and to share a message to people in someone's house. And the Spirit told me to go with them and not to make a distinction between them and us. This story is all that Peter has. And it basically boiled down to one point. When they asked the question, why, Peter, did you go and you sit at the table of these people? All that Peter had to say was the Holy Spirit told me to. And it wasn't like this case of a sibling blaming their actions on another, right? We've all maybe done that if you have a brother or sister. Well, so-and-so told me to, and that's why I did it. No, this is a different kind of someone telling me to, right? The Holy Spirit, it carries weight. The Holy Spirit told me to. Has the Holy Spirit ever told you to do something? I know that one of the ways that I know that the Holy Spirit is telling me to do something is because usually it's something that I would not choose to do by myself. Sometimes we have a hard time discerning what is the voice of God and what is the voice of our own ego. But if it is something that we would not readily step into, then we can be pretty certain that it's probably the Holy Spirit that's calling us to do it. Amen? It's also oftentimes something that if you were to say no to it, you have this sneaking suspicion that you might find yourself in that same place again sometime soon. Like if I don't engage in this conversation that I'm feeling led to, I'll probably find myself in another place with the same type of opportunity sometime down the line. And sometimes it takes us 3 times to get the message. Sometimes it takes us 4, 5, 25, a long time to get the message. We could ask our friend Jonah about that, right? So Peter goes to Cornelius' house. That's the house he's been invited to. And he sits at this table with the Gentiles, and he continues in his story to his Jewish friends by explaining that the Spirit fell upon them just as it had upon us. And of course, he's talking about Pentecost, right? When the tongues of flame appeared above the heads of those who were once again praying and wondering what was going to happen next. I had to imagine that being in that room was probably confusing and exciting and terrifying and awe-inspiring all at the same time. And so to invoke that memory of Pentecost and to remind the folks that had been there that this same thing happened to a group of Gentiles, there's something that they couldn't deny about that experience. And then Peter says, if God gave them the same gift He gave us when we believed, who was I that I would hinder God? Who was I? Who am I? Who are we that we would hinder God? When I was at the table of the disciples, when I was at the table of the Gentiles, the Holy Spirit told me to. And then the Holy Spirit did. And the Holy Spirit was present there and moved in the hearts of those people gathered around the table. And the truth is that you and I, we cannot hinder the movement of the Holy Spirit. Thanks be to God. One of the challenges of our spiritual life every day is that we live in this in-between space. We live in the space between what God has already done and what God is doing right now. And sometimes we might be tempted to read the scripture and say, well, that's all God wrote. That was a nice story. But it's not like the children's book that I grew up reading because it was named after me, Madeline, right? They named the book after me, not the other way around. But the children's books always conclude with, that's all there is, there isn't any more. That's not how our Bible ends, friends. Instead, we have this word that's written down and this word that became flesh. And then we are in the ongoing writing of the telling of the story with our lives. Amen? This word that we have is not dead, it's not concluded, it's not finished. It's ongoing. And it will continue beyond and after us. Thanks be to God. And so we have this ability to interpret scripture with our lives. And thanks be to John Wesley, we have all these skills, the quadrilateral, right? The scripture, the word, the tradition that we learn through our time together, our reason, our minds to interpret scripture, and our experience. And here, Peter is living into this moment of relying on his experience to explain what is happening. There isn't a verse about the conversion of the Gentiles in Peter's Bible, but there's one in ours, because Peter lived it. And there's something that we're living right now that will be of sacred tradition for the people who come after us. Because God is constantly writing this story. It's never finished. And so that's what's happening to Peter. God, through Peter, is writing another chapter. Why did you eat with Gentiles, Peter? Peter, there's plenty of previous chapters about why you shouldn't be eating with Gentiles, because they're not clean. Because they don't follow the laws and the practices that we follow. So clearly, Peter, you should know there's a way that this interaction should have happened and you didn't quite follow the script. And Peter's only response is, the Holy Spirit told me to. Friends, sometimes we don't think that the Holy Spirit told me to is a good enough reason, right? Sometimes we forget that the business of the Holy Spirit is to make all things new and to work all things out for good. And we can become suspicious of the Spirit, especially when the Spirit starts moving us towards people that we would deem unclean. the people of our era that are the Gentiles. Sometimes our suspicions are valid, right? Because we've had people in this world who have claimed to do things on behalf of God that were anything but the nature of God. But this crossing of boundaries to be with more people, there might not have been a specific verse about the Gentiles, but there was a man who engaged in conversation with a Samaritan woman. And there was a man who healed the children of Gentiles. And there was a man who worked on the day of rest by granting people spiritual, emotional, and physical freedom from whatever it was that ailed them. And there was a man who said, "You have heard it said, but I say to you." And there was a man who taught that loving our neighbor really ought to look like loving our enemy. This sounds a lot like Jesus, this action of Peter. And so we can have our suspicions, but we cannot hinder the movement of the Spirit. And this past week, there's been particularly a conversation on social media that's made me think about the way that we cannot hinder the movement of the Spirit. If you're not familiar, there's a preacher and theological writer named John MacArthur who made a comment about another preacher and theological writer named Beth Moore. And John MacArthur was being interviewed, and they were doing some type of activity. I'm really not even sure why. But they were saying some words, and then John MacArthur was responding with whatever first popped into his mind based on those words. And so they chose to use Beth Moore's name as an object in this activity. And so John MacArthur was told, "Beth Moore, what is the first thing that comes to your mind?" And his response was, "Go home." And as if you couldn't just brush that off as a funny quip to say to get a group of people to laugh, John MacArthur doubled down on his statement by saying, "There is no case that can be made biblically for a woman preacher, period." And that statement, friends, simply is not true, because we all know that Mary Magdalene carried the message of the resurrection first. Not to mention the many other women in Scripture we could name who carried the ministry even before Jesus was on earth. But that's not the point. That could be a whole other sermon series. We could have a whole Bible study about that if you want to. The point is that women have been called by the Spirit to the work of ministry, and they've done it. And John MacArthur can say that there's no biblical case, but women clergy and all women in ministry can testify that the Holy Spirit told us so and told us to. And we aren't the only group of people who have been told, "Well, no, not you," and been able to respond, "Well, the Holy Spirit told me so." Even in our history, here in this country that we like to sometimes deny, white slave owners controlled their slaves by only reading certain passages of Scripture, and we can imagine which ones they used, that slaves should obey their masters. And they tried to control the message of the gospel, maybe because they knew what would actually happen if they shared the fullness of it. But that didn't hinder the Holy Spirit from moving and stirring in the hearts and minds and lives of black people who were enslaved. It didn't hinder the fact that white people were using the Bible, the sword, as instead a chain and a shackle. And it led those people into the woods, and they had their own worship. And they had the fullness of the story of the gospel. When they read the story of the Exodus, the Holy Spirit wasn't hindered by white people saying to black people that you can't have freedom because the Spirit told them so, that they could have it. When their Spirit moves, there are always people who are going to choose to believe that they understand the Spirit, like that they've got God's deal, that they know what's going on, that they understand the fullness of God's creation and nature, and that all of that God could conceivably do because it's written somewhere, right? There are always going to be those people, but there are always also going to be people who are called. There are always going to be people that the Spirit tells to do something, and those folks can't deny what they've been told. When the Spirit moves, there's no way that we can get in the way of what God could possibly be doing. Our current conversation in the United Methodist Church is that LGBTQ people are called to preach with a question mark after it, right? And we're living in another moment like Peter, where all we have is our testimony, all we have is our experience of the giftedness of LGBTQ people to stand our ground. Could the gift of the Holy Spirit have possibly fallen on them the way that it fell on the Gentiles when Peter came and shared the story with them? If God gave them the same gift he gave us when we believed the Lord, who am I to hinder God? Who are we to hinder the Holy Spirit? When we lean in and we yield to the Spirit, an entire people became part of the story of God. And we might ask ourselves, what would have happened if Peter had not gone to the Gentiles? That if he hadn't answered this call of the Holy Spirit, if he hadn't listened to the statement to not make a distinction between them and us, what would have happened? We might be tempted to say, well, then the Gentiles would have never been part of the family of God. But I think the reality of the situation is that the Holy Spirit would have found somebody else who was willing to answer the call. And the Holy Spirit would have found another way. Because we cannot hinder the movement of God's Spirit to seek God's people. And so I wonder today how the Spirit might be calling you individually or as a church to new places and new spaces and different people. You have a beautiful new sign out in front of your church. I don't know if you've read it, but it's pretty wonderful. I wonder what will happen if those words become actions, and it's not just a sign in front, but a lived incarnation of that in this place, in this building, in this neighborhood, in this community, in this world. What will happen that will make somebody sometime from now ask you, what led you to those tables? And I pray that your response will be, the Holy Spirit told me to. Let us pray. God, we confess that sometimes we believe that we are in control. We believe that we know you so intimately that we could know what it is that you have in your vision for this world. And God, I confess that sometimes we are afraid of what it is that you might have in store for us because it's unknown, it's uncertain, it's a chapter that has not yet been written. And so God, I pray that today we would have the boldness and the courage to simply answer the call, to yield to your Spirit, that we would be swept up into the beautiful movement that is the creation of your kingdom here on earth. We ask all of these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.